Welcome back to another episode of From Girls to Women podcast, where the voices of young Black females are elevated and celebrated. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Marquita Cherie Dorsey. And today I am having a conversation with Miss Katie Williams. This conversation went from comparing yourself to social media breaks to filtering what you consume to imposter syndrome. Such a dynamic conversation. You're going to want to pull in another young lady so that you can have a conversation after hearing all of these jewels that Miss Katie Williams was presenting to us, dropping today. So kick back, grab you some tea, and prepare for a wonderful, wonderful dialogue. Let's listen. Thank you for being here today, Miss Katie. I appreciate the time. I am really excited to have this conversation with you. You come highly recommended. So I'm sure everyone else is going to appreciate this. So I always start this podcast off with asking, what is one of the things that you think is most important relating to the Black female experience, particularly young Black female experience, right? This is 2022. I'm curious, what would you say?
I would definitely say fighting, one, imposter syndrome, and two, having the feelings of comparing yourself to others. And I say that because I feel in this generation, especially as it pertains to social media and, you know, even just the ideas that we kind of project onto others about our definition of Black excellence, as well as just, you know, seeing what people are doing versus what you feel like you're supposed to be doing. I think that that really does weigh heavy on us as young women, especially as it pertains to like your body image, you know, careers. Now there's like this new idea of living a soft life and being,
talk to me about that, Katie. What, living a soft life, what is that?
You know, I really wish I could tell you because I see it like on TikTok and I see it on social media and I'm like, okay, does that mean like you are just doing what's best for you? Is that self-care? You know, like what does that mean? But I feel like, again, it can look different for everybody because there is no one way to do life. Like sometimes it's going to be a soft life, maybe. But other times, you know, it's okay for things to be a little rocky because that usually is like when we learn lessons and like really better understand different aspects of growing. And so
that's, see, so Katie, here's the thing. This idea of living a soft life, I have never even heard this phrase before. So enlighten me on what would a soft life look like according to, I don't know, the latest social media craze. Like, what would a soft life look like?
So if I'm understanding correctly, it's life that is when you're at ease, you know, like not a lot of like high pressure, not doing things that require your energy.
Oh, interesting.
You know, just kind of, again, self-caring.
I see.
But I also see that, like, I don't know, I've seen people refer to soft life as far as even just, you know, getting your hair done and things like that. And I'm like, well, that's just, you know, self-care. It's but
taking care of yourself. Grooming.
I guess, again, it looks different. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it sounds good. I want to live a soft life. I don't want to live a hard life.
Yeah. I see. So if you think about, you know, that pressure and you talk about comparing yourself, how does that show up in your world or in your experiences?
I know personally, it's definitely shown up with my educational experiences. Because, you know, Black women, we get those degrees by any means necessary, you know, like anybody that you know probably has at least 2 degrees in this generation. and if not, they're in grad school or they're going back or they're, you know, working on applying or something like that. And we don't just stop at, you know, bachelor's anymore. There's this pressure to, you know, get master's. And especially if you think about the economy too, you know, like that's kind of what people feel like forced to have to do. So I feel like just the idea of, you know, educational perspectives, when you see this person next to you that they're 24 and they just got a law degree and you're 24 and you're like, well, I haven't even decided if I want to go back to grad school yet. Like, all I have is a bachelor's, but I have a job, you know, like, is that good enough? And then, you know, again, you're fresh out of college, you're only 21. And it's like, okay, I want to just relax for a while, enjoy my 20s, maybe get a job, but maybe I want to go back to school. I don't really know, you know? And then you see people on social media like, oh, I just got a new job. My rate, you know, my salary is increasing by 50%, you know, all that stuff. It's like, dang, you know, I'm not doing enough. So yeah, definitely that. It puts a lot of pressure on me. I'm in grad school right now. I'll be finished literally next month. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, congratulations. Yeah, that's great.
But even that experience has been very weird for me, because as I'm finishing up, I still feel like, okay, what can I do next? You know? And I don't think that that was ever something that I felt before. Like, I always celebrated myself and thought that what I was doing was enough. But recently, you know, just seeing the people around me being so successful. I work in nonprofit, so the money isn't, you know, just pouring like off a tree.
Right.
So it's like, okay, what can I do next? What can I do to make more money? What business can I start? What can I do to, you know, and it's just a lot. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot. And I can't help but reflect on some of the students in some of my former classes. And I've talked about this before, and just the pressure that I feel from them around graduating and then what's next and how, what am I going to do and where do I go and what do I take on next, you know? And I don't know if I have a helpful answer for folks. I know I feel a tremendous amount of empathy being someone who's super goal oriented, right? Because it's hard, right? You want to get things accomplished in your life and you want to, you know, do great things with your life. But how are we getting out of this cycle of comparison? Because I don't know how you feel. I think I should ask, how has that impacted your mental health?
Yeah, definitely. I can say it fuels my anxiety for sure. Because when I feel like, I don't know what's next, the fear of the unknown, the idea that I might be doing something wrong, it just makes me anxious. You know, it makes me overthink every decision that I make. It makes me go into deep dives of different aspects of my life to understand, you know, if what I'm doing is okay. And yeah, it fuels my anxiety. And that might lead to me experiencing waves of depression to where I'm like, man, I feel like I'm not doing enough in my life, or I feel like I'm not good enough. And, you know, just all of those things. I know, like, I always recite the phrase, comparison is the thief of joy. And that's a great reminder. But when you're in the trenches, it's hard to really feel that way and to know that, you know, you're robbing yourself of your joy, because it's just a hard way to view it when you are feeling that way.
That's an amazing quote. Comparison is the thief of joy. I hope that people walk away with that, if nothing else, because it really is a thief of joy, because as you pointed out, right, you've achieved something, and as you have practiced in the past, as you mentioned, like, you celebrate that and you give yourself some time to breathe. But we've gotten to a place where everyone, or our, you know, almost, you know, unfortunately, where we are now is now we almost forced to compare ourselves if we're on any social media platform. I think it's figuring out how to admire and respect what other people are doing in their life, and then finding a way to pull away and recognize that your destiny is your destiny. Your lane is your lane. Your purpose is your purpose. Your impact on this earth is what it is, and in the proper timing. I think that's what, and that's what helps me, you know, when I'm thinking about my own life and so many of my colleagues and friends and former friends that have done great things. So that helps me. I don't know, because I'm serious about joy. Joy is important, right?
You gotta have it. I mean, I always recommend people doing things to fill their cup, because when your cup is full, it's hard to get depleted. As long as it's full. But if you're not doing things to intentionally invest in yourself and your happiness, then it's very easy to get knocked off your rocker.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. Okay, so education, and in pursuit of education, there's pressure. Are there other things that you feel? I know you mentioned body image and how that is related also to how, you know, people comparing themselves through social media. Why do you think that's an important issue for young Black females in particular?
I think it's interesting because a lot of the things that we try to change about ourselves often are things that we should appreciate more, because they're usually aspects of us that make us unique.
Yes.
But I feel like it's hard because of what we see celebrated the most. Mm. So if you think about like an Instagram post with someone who has a super flat stomach, you know, nice curves, clear skin, long hair, that's probably going to do numbers. You know, those are the celebrity pictures that are getting the millions of likes, you know, versus if you maybe don't have a flat stomach, and maybe you do, but you might have like bigger hips or something, you know, like just little things like that, that we critique about other people mainly because we're unhappy about it with ourselves. I feel like really ruins people's perceptions of what they're supposed to look like. And it also puts such a damper in the community, because then we are like bringing each other down because we don't feel like they look a certain type of way that they're supposed to, or projecting. Like that is really what it boils down to. Like, I don't like this about myself, and she has this and that, so let me find ways to not make her feel good about herself because I don't feel good about myself. So
toxic.
Right. Just toxic.
Because that's a huge issue, right? And you pointed it out perfectly, that someone might project those things onto somebody else, ruining that individual's perspective of themselves, right? Our words have power. And so if we can't put good in the world, at least, you know, don't spew out toxicity, right?
Oh, definitely. So I definitely sometimes have to take some time away from social media. That's actually one form of self-care for me, is doing social media breaks, because you don't realize it, but like what you're feeding your spirit, you're feeding your mind these things that you're seeing daily, and it's going to have a bigger impact than we give it credit to. You know, I feel like you think, oh, I'm just scrolling, you know, I'm just watching my TikToks, I'm just, you know, oh, I just retweeted this, You're fueling, you know, your ideas of what you think is important, what you think looks good, et cetera. And it can be very detrimental, because that's kind of your way of thinking now. And you don't really give yourself time to form an opinion on your own.
Yeah.
Like, think about like when a story breaks, usually everybody has an opinion, you know, and like, you need to give yourself time to really think about how it might have made you feel, because you're seeing all these other people, you know, on their soapboxes about stuff. So yeah, I definitely got to take some time off social media every now and then. I found myself knee deep and not being able to like detach from what I was in my phone. So
that's so good. I, and to hear someone from your generation say that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to take breaks. And that is a form of your own mental health, taking mm-hmm. care of yourself.
Yeah. Especially too, when you think about like what we're exposed to on a daily basis, especially the Black community, like this, I'd say the past 2 years, ever since, you know, the beginning of the pandemic, George Floyd, like mm-hmm. that era of social media was like almost the kickstart of toxicity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to like, of course, diminish what was happening at the time, because everything that was happening was relevant. You know, it was things yep. that we need to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. But the human brain is not equipped to see things like that. So, you know, accessible and easily within seconds, yeah. you know, yeah. I know they put trigger warnings and sensitivity warnings on things, but we're human. Like, we're going to click through that and it's going to be, you know, onto the video itself, but that's not okay. You know, you have all these mass shootings and people that are sharing, you know, experiences of assault and people that are, you know, maybe not in the best mental space and they're, mm-hmm. you know, telling about their journeys and things like that. Mm-hmm. And if you're sensitive to things like that, it can really, really weigh you down yeah. and have like take a toll on your mental. So I definitely think you have to really monitor how you use those apps, because if you don't, it can be bad.
Yep. That first of all, everything that you said, I was like experiencing chills as I thought about just how what you said, right? That our brain consuming all of that material, whether we realize it or not, is having an impact on us. And so I hope that folks walk away thinking, all right, how do I manage the social media consumption that I whether take in daily, weekly, monthly? And how do I prioritize my mental health?
You know what? I had to hold myself accountable because I have an iPhone and you can do like screen time limits. I set a screen time limit on social media. So Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, mm-hmm. and on social media, I set a limit for 5 hours a day. And I was like, oh yeah, that's plenty. Like 5 hours a day, uh-huh. like I shouldn't. I literally reached my limit by like noon one day.
Oh, what? Katie, really? Wow.
Okay, now hear me out. Give me the benefit of the doubt, because I was up the previous night until like 3 a.m.
Okay.
Some of that time, but still, I mean,
wow.
Like, come on, girl, that's more than half of a work day.
Listen, yeah.
Come on.
That's good. But first, breaking it down that way. Thinking about it that way, right? That's half of a work day.
Yeah, more than half.
More than half, yeah.
8 hours. And I just had to have like that. Basically, I'm sitting on my phone and I realize, you know, I'll be watching a movie and still on my phone. You know, yeah. I'll be driving and I'm in traffic and I'll be like, let me just change the song really quick. But then that turns into
a scrolling.
Yeah, you know, or like, you know, now I'm not saying do this, you know,
of course, right? We're gonna be safe on the road,
but I'm just being transparent. I mean,
yeah, no, that's right.
Even in the gym, if I'm working out, I'm in my zone, I'm like, oh, cool, let me just like find a new song to work out to, or let me text this person back. And then, I end up on a 10 minute tangent sitting on the floor of the gym when I should be working out, like, girl,
get up. Well, we are not here for this, we're here to work out.
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. I was having a conversation actually yesterday about a father concerned about his daughter's social media consumption, right? And that conversation kind of went into, yeah, I see them, you know, in the room with their friends, but engaging with one another through their phones, not through their mouth.
Yeah.
Not interacting physically in the same physical space, but not interacting. Please, Katie, help me out. What is that about? Please help us out.
Genuinely, especially after the pandemic, I genuinely think a lot of people have lost the art of human connection, like truth. And even from a perspective of like kids, to that father's point, I was an elementary teacher. And I would be so surprised to know that like the 7 and 8 year olds had multiple devices. When it's game day at school, like I'm planning rewards parties and I'm like, okay, yeah, you can bring your board games. They're like, board games?
What?
Roblox, okay? We play Fortnite, like all sorts of stuff. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, like we have really lost the art of human connection. But I think too, I mean, adults do that. Like how often, you know, have you been in a meeting on Zoom and you look at the person and you can tell that they're looking down at their phone, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm. You know, if you think about riding like public transportation, you go to the airport, people aren't talking to strangers, yeah. You know, they're not, yeah. You know, just even simply saying like, oh, hey, how you doing? Where are you going? You know, people are on their phones or they're taking a work call or they're, you know, on Zoom, you know, waiting for their next flight or, you know, anything like that. Literally technology runs our lives. And we are unable to really communicate with one another. I mean, I know even I have a bad where I sometimes feel like, oh, I can say what I'm feeling better over text because then I'm able to like rehearse it a little bit and edit it.
Okay.
But also I try to get out of that because then I'm really, even though it's communication, you're not hearing my tone. You're not able to really like probe me, you know, like, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, can you, you know, mm-hmm. anything like that, because I've said what I said and that's just what it is because it's a text. So it's disheartening.
Well, here's and what I share with this father is, okay, this is where we are, right? So how do we find ways to engage? Oh, perhaps pulling away in small ways from social media. Don't know the answer to that. I don't understand. Exploring some of that in my research, but at this moment, I don't have an answer. So what would you say is a way that we can kind of start to pull away? You pointed out, which is a great one, is take social media breaks.
Yes, I would definitely say social media breaks. And also, too, just being very intentional about the time you spend with people. I think that that's really important. Mm-hmm. For example, if you, you know, go on a date, it can be like a no phone zone, you know, or if you are like out with friends.
Nice.
Girl, you ain't got to record everything. I'm guilty of that, too. You know, I'm like, oh, I want to have this for my memories. But just be in the moment, you know, you're going to look back and you have those pictures. Yeah. You have those, you know, videos, but you didn't really truly enjoy the moment. How do you feel like looking back, really fulfilled by that experience that you had, by that, you know, time that you were spending with that person? So I would just encourage, you know, others to be more in the moment. And again, guilty as charged.
Yeah. Like, hey, that's all right. No judgment here. No judgment.
A hard time, you know, like I've caught myself out to dinner with friends and then I get on my phone and it's almost like the conversation around me is no longer happening, you know, because I'm like so like engaged with what I'm doing or what I'm seeing on my phone. So yeah, I would just say, you know, be more present and really value the time that you have with people and be intentional, because those are going to be the times that usually form the biggest connections with people. And those are going to be the times that lead to very intentional conversations, where you're really able to understand yourself better as well as the other person too.
Nice. Nice. That's so good. Being intentional. And particularly, like you said, like these moments, you may not get these moments again. You may hang out again, but this moment and this time and this space with these folks and this energy, why not maximize it? That's awesome. That's awesome. So I want to go back, though, to the body image part, because I think that part for me is one of my greatest concerns and how folks might look at themselves differently when they see other bodies or other types of bodies or other, you know, edited photos of bodies on social media. What would you say is, or what words of encouragement would you share with folks that are, you know, discouraged with their own bodies because of what they see on social media?
Yeah, for sure. I have been having to remind myself that I am beautifully and wonderfully made, because so many times I look at myself and I'm like, oh, I wish this was different, or like, okay, well, what's the newest like fad that's going to help me, you know, have my summer body? Or, you know, I'm following all these influencers on social media trying to, oh, you know, I could do this, or I could do this to change this, 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 and this. And it's small things like my lashes, and it's big things like, you know, the way I view myself. And I feel like that's more important than anything physical. So I would definitely say just reaffirming yourself and who you are with affirmations. But also, again, making sure that you are exposing yourself to things that are healthy. Because I feel like when you do, you know, find yourself following, you know, the same types of people that, you know, discourage your image, or you do listen to music that, you know, might portray this as being sexy and, you know, attractive, you really do start to believe those things. And so I feel like, you know, just monitoring and filtering what you expose yourself to is also very important. And then too, you know, I think once you say it enough, you believe it. So you just got to tell yourself, like, I'm that girl. Like, I'm that girl, and that's what it is. And also, one phrase that has just, like, I've been kind of meditating on this summer is, y'all gonna get what y'all get. And that's just, and that's just what it is, because I can sit up here and I can change, you know, I can change and I can do all this. Is still gonna have something to say, you know, like, I'm gonna work out and I'm you know, then it's, oh, you too skinny, girl, why you lose all that weight, what happened to you know, so y'all just gonna get what you get, right?
And that's it, because what's important is whether you like it and you're comfortable and you're okay.
As a teacher, I used to always say to my kids, you get what you get and don't throw a fit. And that's just what I'm gonna say. Y'all gonna get what you get, and y'all just have to be happy with it.
I love that. Oh yeah, I'm gonna use that one. Y'all go get what y'all go get. Period. That's it. I really also appreciate you saying filtering what you consume, honestly. Yeah, like that music part too, you know, you saying, listening to what people are saying in these lyrics, you know. And I know there's been so much conversation over the years about the impact of whether it's hip hop or even R&B in some cases. I think that's a really good point. And again, because we forget that what we hear, what we consume is through our senses, right? Our touch, our eyes, our ears.
I will never forget. I was in maybe ninth grade and I was going to a Bible study class. And I went to kind of like a modern, like, hip church, you know, like, they always kind of tried to make things relatable. But the Bible study teacher had us listen to some of like the more popular songs. But before she had us listen to them, she printed out the lyrics. And we like highlighted some like of the toxic lyrics. And it would be so crazy to think, but I will never forget. It was Bruno Mars, "If It, Like It Will Rain." That song was on Twilight, you know, like, it's a very, like, it's a love song. It's Bruno Mars. Like, it's on the Billboard Top 100. Like, it's not saying anything bad. But then you listen to the lyrics and he's talking about basically, like, if this person leaves him, like, it's going to rain forever and he's never going to be happy again. And then you're singing those lyrics and you're now going to think that, man, like, if this person leaves me, this is how I'm supposed to feel. Or if I'm not in a relationship, then... and that's not true.
That's like, not true.
You know?
Nope.
You really do have to be careful what you listen to. But also, meanwhile, it's, you know, the 29th of July is when Beyonce says she's releasing some new music. And I don't know what she's about to be talking about, but she's going to listen to
it. Yeah, everybody's going to be on that album. And hopefully, you know, although she didn't get as much, you know, acclaim, I believe, as she should have been afforded for Lemonade, because it was a powerful album. Hopefully this one will be as powerful, if not more, in terms of her messaging and in terms of her position, right?
I'm ready.
You and a whole bunch of others. For real. Okay, so Katie, I want to go back to one other thought from the very beginning of our interview and how we started. One of the areas you thought were important was, you know, young Black females comparing themselves. But the other part you talked about was imposter syndrome. Yeah. And so tell me about your experience with imposter syndrome, if you can, in the next few minutes.
Invite me back in a couple months when I'm hopefully over it, because I'm literally experiencing it right now. Like, I have had the hardest time the past few months finishing my master's, because I literally ask myself all the time, like, girl, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And it's crazy because I've made it this far off my own strength. So who am I now to discredit myself?
Nice. You know? Woo.
Girl, you got the degrees. You know, you got these accomplishments, these accolades. What was any different then? You know more now than you do then. But yet still, here I am like, ooh, like, why did you go to grad school, girl? Like, a thesis? Like, huh? Like, I'm sitting here so confused, feeling so self-conscious, emailing my advisor every day almost, asking if we can meet so I could ask her a question, talk to her about this. And it's like, why are you doing that to yourself? You know, I literally had to have so many conversations with myself over the past few months, because I am really counting myself out. Uh-huh. And that's not fair to younger me. That's not fair to me a year ago. That's not fair to even me 2 weeks ago, because I'm resilient, but somehow I have really been discounting myself, and I hate it. Mm-hmm. But I know, like, just me knowing, you know, who I am and knowing my worth and knowing, you know, my strength, I know that right now it's temporary. Like, I feel like this, and it's not a good feeling, but I will overcome it once whatever I'm worried about passes, you know?
Absolutely. Not only that, before I kind of probe this a bit, I want to echo what you said. Who am I to discredit yourself, right? Who you are now, who are you now to discredit yourself? You know, I want to just encourage you first that you are absolutely right. This is not only is it temporary, but I like to help myself in my experiences with imposter syndrome. I've had to help myself remind myself of who I am. So the same thing that you were saying to yourself about, you know, every day, your body image, and, you know, that reminding yourself these affirmations, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That I would encourage you to do the same in this case, right? And I know it's challenging because every day is different, right? Every challenge is different. You having to force yourself to rise to the occasion every single day, because every single situation is different. You are able and you are powerful because you've made it to where you are. And it makes me sad to know that many, not just you, but many young Black females experience imposter syndrome in ways that might be debilitating in some cases.
Definitely. I know for sure it has stopped me from applying to certain jobs, applying to certain programs, not starting a new venture, because I'm just like, I don't know how to feel about this, or even projecting. I'm guilty for sure of projecting things onto myself because of maybe what I might see. So for instance, if I really like, this is not a real situation, but I really, really like vlogging and I love capturing moments, but it's like, oh, like, I don't want to start a channel. Everybody does that. I don't want to be like everybody else, you know, like, I don't want to embarrass myself and all that stuff. And again, it's like, girl, who cares? Yeah. Like, everybody is thinking about you, because I promise you, people are not.
Your self-talk, your positive self-talk, you're encouraging yourself. And honestly, and I, you know, Katie, I kind of do the same thing, right? I have to check myself, you know, like, girl, Calm down. Cut it out. Bring it back. Bring it back. Either
too much.
Either do what you want to do, or you're going to choose to worry about what other people think. Which one? Choose a lane. And I see you choosing the lane that you're going to do what you want to do. So I just encourage you to keep pushing, keep going. You're going to change this world, Miss Katie. And I'm excited. And I'm excited to now know you and be very ready age with whatever it is that you're going to pursue. All right. So last 2 minutes, Miss Katie, what would you say? What words of encouragement would you have for young Black females who are either challenged with imposter syndrome, whatever pressures they might be feeling to be everything to everybody or what have you, and any other words of encouragement, what might you share with our listeners today?
I would say you are the best you that you can be. And there's many layers to that. One, there's only one you because you just you, and there's not another Katie Williams. There's not another, you know, person that's doing everything exactly like I am. So there's one me, and it's the best me because it is me. That is something that we need to remember because can't nobody do it like you, baby. Like,
I love it.
No, like, I really feel like we should take more pride in one, who we are, and also two, knowing that there is not a single person in this life that has had the same experiences as you, that has dealt with the same things that you've dealt with, that looks just like you, that has the same goals. And you are uniquely you. And with that alone, that is a strength. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that we should resonate a little bit more with more often, because then that takes off the pressure of feeling like you need to be one like other people, and two, like who you are is not enough or it's not good, because again, there's no one like you, and somewhere there's probably someone wishing that they were doing some of the things that you're doing and wishing that they had some of the traits that you have. So I would definitely just say empower yourself in knowing that, and remember again to tell yourself that, because it's true. And like I said, you're that girl, you're that guy, you're that teacher, you're like whatever you are that.
Yeah. Okay. And it's only one, right? Only one you.
Yep.
Miss Katie Williams, thank you so much. This was awesome. I'm so grateful to know you, and I'm so happy you are now part of the From Girls to Women family. So thank you.
Excited to be here. Thank you again for having me.
Wow. I am so grateful for the opportunity to have a conversation with Miss Katie and so many other young women, but Katie particularly dropped quite a few jewels for us to feast on, to meditate on. You are the best you. Y'all go get what y'all go get. And one of the most powerful things that Katie shared today was, comparison is the thief of joy. I want to leave you with that. I hope that you're able to use this podcast to have a heart-to-heart conversation with other young Black women in your life. I'm grateful that you have joined us today, and I certainly hope that you would join us for the next episode. It only gets greater from here. So thank you so much again. This is your host, Dr. Marquita Cherie Dorsey. And I do hope and pray that all is well with you, and you are nothing more than inspired and ready to take on the world after this interview. Be well. Until next time, take care.